makes no sense. They've never found nothing. I would just go grab them and bring them home, whatever's left of them. I would give the world just to get them out of the dark.
For 16 months, the mother of an Oconto man says she's been kept in the dark about her son's disappearance. She says he was taken on Halloween night in 2022 and killed in Adams County, but no one has ever been arrested. Now her silence is over, and she's ready to bring truth to light. I'm Cassandra Cepeda, and this is Forgotten, Jacob Wenzel, Out of the Dark. I'm going to start this episode by saying no one is a saint. We all have things we regret saying or doing, and for some of us, it ends there and we move on. For others, their lives are littered with a series of bad decisions, like Jacob Wenzel. The 21-year-old has a lengthy rap sheet that spans three counties in Wisconsin over several years. I'm talking things like theft, bail jumping, fraud, traffic violations, and drugs. So no, he's not an angel, but he is a brother, a cousin, a boyfriend, a father figure, and a son. And regardless of his past, he is loved, and his family deserves to know the truth, and he deserves justice.
Jacob were a really affectionate, though even as an adult at 18, 19, they'd still lay on my lap when he wasn't feeling good. Always a hug and a kiss, and I love you, goodbye. Never would ever say goodbye without a hug and a kiss and saying I love you.
That's Jacob's mom, Tanya Sampley. She reached out to me in September of 2023 because, frankly, she's desperate. Tanya says it's been months of trying to get answers from police about anything related to her son's disappearance, and she's tired of being ignored.
They answered maybe three out of my 50 phone calls.
As I've explained in previous episodes, when a case is open, like Jacob's, it's common for investigating agencies to keep certain information from the public. It could be for a variety of reasons, like not letting the suspect know the police are onto them, or to avoid false confessions. All of that, I get, and I do my best to protect the integrity of each case I work on. What I don't understand is a lack of communication. Between his family, friends, and community members, Jacob has been the subject of significant discussion, especially online. When I first started my research, I discovered that since Jacob's disappearance in 2022, the Oconto Police Department has only issued two press releases through its Facebook page, November 4th and November 8th, days after he was reported missing, essentially keeping his family and the public in the dark ever since. So at the request of Jacob's family, I decided to learn what I could and help share his story with the hope of raising awareness about his disappearance. However, getting that information wasn't easy. Since September 2023, on six separate occasions over several months, I requested either an interview or clarification on facts about Jacob's case, of which I'll detail later. And not one question has ever been answered to me about the young man who has been missing at this point 493 days. As you listen to this episode, I'll share what I have learned that's been done to find Jacob. But again, none of it was told to me by the Oconto Police Department. After essentially being stonewalled by investigators, I decided to interview Tanya in January 2024 about the night and days after Jacob disappeared. Here's what she said. At around 2 p.m. on October 31st, 2022, Jacob called her to say that he, his girlfriend Brooke, and his cousin Haley were going to the Breakwater to hang out and smoke marijuana. The Breakwater is a park that sits at the mouth of the Oconto River that spills into the Bay of Green Bay.
I said to him, so give me a call when you guys get back home and have fun. I said, I used to love going out there, so you have fun. He's like, okay. He goes, but Mom, I said, what? He says, I don't want to be grown up anymore. I just want to be a kid again. And I just kind of took it. I laughed at him. I said, well, kind of late for that now, Jake.
After the Breakwater, the three went to Haley's house to hang out. A few hours later, at approximately 9 p.m., Tanya got a text that changed everything. According to Tanya, Haley messaged her saying that Jacob left the house to meet someone outside, but Jacob never came back. The two apparently had made plans over text to hang out at Haley's house and play video games.
I picked up the phone and called her instantly instead of texting, and I said, who, and she said, from Adams County, the one that was after him. And I said, what? Get to the police station right now, Haley and Brooke. Go now. They're not there to friend him. They're going to hurt him.
Right off the bat, I want to let you know that I am not naming who Tanya believes took Jacob because I can't confirm if they've been interviewed by police or named as a person of interest. As far as I can tell, they haven't been charged with anything related to Jacob's disappearance, and I and WSAW have a journalistic responsibility to not falsely accuse someone who could be innocent. So after realizing Jacob was gone, Tanya, her son Jeffrey, and his girlfriend went to the police station.
And Haley tells me that she was blocked in her driveway, the cops would not let her out, that her and Brooke were in the car, but two cops were in front of the driveway and would not let them out or tell them anything.
About a half hour later, Tanya says police began tracking Jacob's cell phone. They said it was on the move and pinged near a Shell gas station and Brookside Cemetery in Abrams along Highway 41, which is about 10 miles south of Oconto. So Jeffrey got in his car and started searching for his brother. While driving, he saw what looked like a suspicious vehicle with a man and woman at the gas station where Jacob's phone pinged. Then the car took off. Jeffrey told his mom he did his best to follow, but eventually lost it. To be clear, we don't know with 100% certainty that the car Jeffrey was following had anything to do with Jacob's disappearance, which is something I would like to clarify with investigators. About an hour later, the family was told Jacob's phone was no longer moving, but last pinged just a few miles south on the highway near Falk Road. So Jeffrey and the police spent time searching the roads and ditches in the area, hoping to find anything related to Jacob, but came up empty-handed. I know this being purely audio, it's hard to visualize everything I'm saying, so I have a map of the area at WSAW.com that paints a better picture. The next day, on November 1st, Tanya says Jeffrey went back to the gas station where police arrived around 2 p.m. to look at a possible surveillance video. According to an article by WBAY in Green Bay, another search was done in the same area on the following Monday, November 7th. This one was organized by Jacob's family. Tanya, her sister-in-law Carrie, some community members, and a person with a drone all showed up to help. While there, Tanya and Carrie also spoke with the manager of the Shell gas station.
She gave her condolences and she offered a free coffee and she confirmed the tape.
Tanya says the gas station had video from the night Jacob disappeared and it showed three individuals, a woman and two men. The quality apparently wasn't very good, but the employee said it captured what looked like two men getting into an altercation ending with one person getting shoved into the trunk of a car. But here is where things start to get complicated. Tanya says when she spoke with police a week later, they denied the footage ever existed. Now, I'm aware this is a big allegation. Ideally, the Oconto PD would clear this up, but as I've said, the department has repeatedly denied my request to answer any of my questions. So I went a different route. I had our editor, Sean, call the gas station. Turns out it got a new owner in 2023. And he has no knowledge of anything happening, including if police ever looked at a recording from the year before. He also said any video recordings are automatically wiped from the system after 1 year. During my conversation with Tanya, the big question I had was, why? Why did she think Jacob was taken? And the answer, she says, is revenge. To explain in the best way I can, I'm going to call the person she says is responsible, Jamie. Tanya says Jamie had an ongoing grudge against Jacob going back a few years to 2019. That day, she says she was at her mom's house when Jacob and Jamie's relative came in. They told her they had been doing drugs when they got into an argument. Jamie's family member then accused Jacob of threatening to hurt him, which Tanya says Jacob denied. After that, Tanya says their friendship was never the same, and Jamie never forgot about the incident. In 2020, Jacob moved to Oconto. That same year, Jamie's relative died in Wood County. I confirmed their death through a records request with the Department of Health Services, but it didn't include how they died. I also heard this during my recorded conversation with Tanya.
Jacob, he's in the car.
That's one of Tanya's sons in the background. He said, Jacob gave him the drugs. In a previous conversation with Tanya, I understood that it's possible Jamie and his family thought Jacob had been the one to give his family member drugs, even though at the time Jacob was technically living in Oconto. So fast forward to 2022, Tanya believes Jamie lured Jacob with the promise of a false friendship, took him, and drove him against his will to a property in Adams County.
So many people say that that's where Jacob's remains are, that that's where he did this to Jacob. And they told me that because it's Adams County, and Adams County has to do it. So I called Adams County, and Adams County said absolutely not, that Oconto has to ask them for their help.
I know this is a lot of he said, she said, but stick with me. It turns out Oconto PD did ask for help. Through a series of emails, Sheriff Brent York confirmed to me, yes, Adams County has worked with the Oconto Police Department to locate Jacob, although he didn't say when. He said his deputies went to addresses in Adams County with the purpose of finding him, but were unsuccessful. However, the office has not held any formal interviews, and it has not executed any search warrants concerning Jacob. The thought of Jacob being more than 100 miles away, dead or alive, haunts Tanya every day.
I think about being tortured. I know they hurt him and tortured him. And I want him to have justice, and I want him out of the dark. Where were they throwing him?
To be clear, I don't have any evidence that Jacob was tortured by anyone. It's another devastating suspicion by Tanya that I would like to ask investigators to clarify, but haven't been given the chance to. So I thought, if they aren't going to cooperate, maybe the person being accused would. Through various online searches, I did my best to track down Jamie and Jamie's family. I called every number that I could find and individually emailed them, but I haven't heard back. So Jamie, if you or a relative are listening, I want to hear from you. Please reach out and email me at kcepeda@wsaw.com. Message me on Facebook or call the newsroom at 715-845-0077. A few days later, after my interview with Tanya on January 9th, I reached out to Oconto PD again, but this time I sent an official records request. But less than a week later, on January 17th, my request was denied. So the same day, I tried a different tactic. In an email sent to the interim police chief, Cassie Dufek, I included a list of specific questions I hoped she could clear up. I thought if she didn't want to release everything, then maybe she'd feel more comfortable answering specific questions. After all, Tanya has a lot of serious allegations about the handling of her son's case. So I pressed send and waited. The next day, coincidence or not, Tanya got a call from OPD asking her to provide some of her DNA as part of the case. She was so surprised by the request, she messaged me while on her way to the police department to tell me about the update. Mind you, this is 15 months after Jacob was first reported missing, but hey, it's progress, right? On February 5th, I reached out to Sheriff Dufek asking for a response to my list of questions for an interview. I even asked if she'd be willing to release a statement about Jacob's disappearance. But you guessed it, denied again. So it was time to get our lawyers involved to see if they could help us obtain the documents needed through a second open records request. I wanted access to three main things: any police reports involving Jacob, specifically Jacob's missing person report, and the department's procedures and criteria for how they handle reports of missing people in general. If you didn't know, open records are a powerful tool for not only journalists, but all people to keep track of what governmental agencies like police departments are doing. The Wisconsin Supreme Court is quoted as saying, "The right of the people to monitor the people's business is one of the core principles of democracy," end quote. On my behalf, our lawyers wrote a letter to Dufek and OPD on February 15th, challenging the department's reasons for denying my records request. As a result, on February 28th, Oconto PD released its policy manual explaining how it handles missing person reports, but it still didn't answer the most basic information about Jacob's case, including what's being done to find him. Their only response was we could go through the city attorney, which we did, by the way, so fingers crossed. As I worked to learn more information, so was Tanya. She emailed Detective Nicole Crocker with OPD, and to her shock, she got a response. Her message said to me, quote, I reached out to them asking for updates without expecting a reply back because normally I do not get a reply back. And to my surprise, Detective Crocker answered me back today within 24 hours. End quote. What did she learn, you ask? Well, luckily for you, she shared the email with me. Listen up. In the email, Detective Crocker revealed that the department at some point conducted a search at a home in Oconto using cadaver dogs, but ultimately found nothing, calling the information that led to the search decidedly false. But that's not all. Crocker said, quote, "All of the information continues to point to Adams County as the most likely place that Jacob ended up," end quote. The more I learned about this case, the more questions I had. Like, why do they think Jacob is in Adams County? And were police able to get records of Jacob's text messages? Surely the text would be able to confirm if Jamie had been texting with Jacob that night and thus helping to confirm Tanya's suspicions. According to AT&T, Jacob's cell phone provider, the company stores sent and received messages for up to 90 days. Messages older than 90 days are deleted from the cloud storage. Did the police file a subpoena in time to read them? I hope so. It's a question I would have asked had I been given the chance. I did learn, however, thanks to Detective Crocker's email, that OPD had requested, quote, "the state to interpret cell phone records we received through subpoenas to try to get an even more exact location of Jacob's phone and route of travel on the night he went missing," end quote. When I agreed to start looking into Jacob's disappearance and do an episode on him, I was honest with Tanya. My goal isn't to solve this case. I'll leave that up to investigators. And even though Jacob still hasn't been found, just this little bit of transparency means the world to his family. So if better communication for Tanya is a byproduct of my months of pushing for answers, then I'll take that as a small victory for her and the community. Even though Tanya is now starting to get some of the information she has been asking for, she says she still hasn't been officially interviewed by police about Jacob's disappearance.
They've never even interviewed me. They never even interviewed Haley.
Remember, Haley was one of the last people to see Jacob, and he was at her house the night he disappeared. As of this recording, no one has heard or seen Jacob since October 31st, 2022, and his phone and wallet have never been found.
No, nothing. Ain't nobody heard one word, or not even somebody saying they might have seen him since the day he left. Not even a possible sighting.
I was curious. Is it possible that Jacob left on his own accord? After all, he was reported missing back in 2017 when he was just 15 years old, but was found 7 days later. Maybe he decided to leave again. Is it possible he got into some more trouble and wanted to leave it all behind and start fresh?
No, no. We're a small family and there's no way, no way Jacob would, he's got no other family nowhere or friends. He's got no money, no assets.
For Tanya, not a day goes by that she doesn't think about her son. His disappearance has left a festering wound, not only in her heart, but within her whole family. And she's scared.
They didn't just take one boy, they've like taken all of my boys. Plus my own security, where I have nowhere to turn. Who do I talk to? You know, what do I can't just sit here neither because I'm the mother. But what do I do? There's no one to help me.
What can help is action, but it can only come from police or someone who knows something, maybe someone listening right now. That's where the real power is. For now, Tanya can only hope one day she'll be reunited with her son and the truth will finally be revealed.
I would just go grab him, bring him home, whatever's left of him. I would give the world just to get him out of the dark.
Jacob, regardless of your past, if you're listening, you are loved, and your family isn't giving up hope searching for answers. You have not been forgotten. Jacob T.S. Wenzel was 21 years old when he disappeared in 2022. He is 5'11", about 138 pounds of blonde hair and blue eyes. He was last seen wearing a white sweatshirt with colorful patterns, khaki jogging pants, red and black Jordan tennis shoes, and a gray hat with a black logo patch on the front. He has several tattoos, including one on his left forearm that says family. a diamond on the left side of his chest and a diamond on his right forearm. If you know anything about his disappearance, call the Oconto Police Department at 920-834-7700.